This is FUV Live Sessions, a podcast brought to you by WFUV in New York City. Each week, we talk to artists in our Bronx studio or at venues around New York City, and we listen to them play a live set. You'll get to hear the songs and learn about the artist or band. Episodes drop every Monday wherever you listen to podcasts. Be sure to follow the show to stay up to date on all the latest episodes, and you never know, you might even find your next favorite artist or band. If you like what you hear, please make sure that you rate and review the show so other music lovers can find it. This is FUV Live Sessions with Langhorne Slim. I'm Megan Suma, and I'm here with host Emma P. at WFUV. And Emma, I know that you are a Langhorne Slim fan. You were really looking forward to this session.
Oh, yeah.
And this new project is really beautiful.
Yes, it is.
We got to hear some stripped down songs. Please tell me about hearing these songs live.
Yeah, so the new album, The Dreamin' Kind, just out in January of 2026, it's a rock and roll record, but we were treated to some acoustic versions of those rock and roll songs. We got to hear three songs, and which you guys will hear when we get to it. But Langhorne Slim, a longtime pioneer of Americana folk music, often, you know, accompanied by acoustic guitar, banjo. But on this new record, he was joined by Greta Van Fleet's Sam Kiska, bass player for that band, who finds himself in the producer seat here, and Danny Wagner, drummer for Greta Van Fleet. And so it's a different direction, but as you'll hear in our conversation, what remains is that that raw humanity that Langhorne really is known for. You know, it doesn't matter if he's in one genre or another, his songwriting, his lyricism, his personal reflective storytelling is really what we've come, myself, I'm speaking for myself, but I know many listeners have come to love him for and to come back to him for.
Yeah. What song are we going to hear first in this FEV live session?
Sure. So the first song on the album, I think, really sets the record up, or it introduces the record perfectly. It's Langhorne Slim kind of saying to the listeners that what you're going to hear on this album, The Dreamin' Kind, is rock and roll. That's the name of it, rock and roll.
Tonight we're gonna live until we die. We gotta get low sometime, but we're gonna get high. We might not make our mothers proud, we might not know our fathers well. We gotta get low sometimes, oh, but we're gonna get high. It's like living on a boat out at sea. Some days you're one with the breeze, and other days you get carried away. You and me, like a boat out at sea. Maybe there's nothing to be, and so we sail on, sail la vie, get carried away endlessly. We're gonna rock and roll tonight. We're gonna slip until we slide. We gotta get low sometimes, but we're gonna get high. We might even lose our minds at times, but getting lost, it ain't a crime. Gotta get low sometimes, yeah, but we're gonna get high. It's like living on a dog as a flea. Well, some days you got nowhere to be, and other days you get carried away. You and me, like a dog with a flea. Maybe there's nothing to be, and since absence is the highest form of presence since the day we're born, our hearts get tired, our minds get torn, but every rose is warm when it's torn. You and
That was the incomparable Langhorne Slim live in Studio A with the song Rock and Roll from his new studio album, The Dreamin' Kind, which at the time of taping this comes out tomorrow, January 16th, 2026. Much of The Dreamin' Kind sees the Pennsylvania-born, now Nashville-based singer-songwriter pivot from the stripped-down Americana sound he's long pioneered, and which we heard on his last album, 2020's Strawberry Mansion. The Dreamin' Kind, produced by Greta Van Fleet's Sam Kiska, houses larger-than-life riffs and richly layered arrangements, but among which Slim remains as raw and intimate as ever, drawing listeners inside that largeness with his deeply personal and reflective storytelling. Acoustic moments on the record invite us to reflect, too, accompanied by the chirping of birds or the picking of a banjo, and always the right words. Langhorne Slim, thank you so much
that
for being
beautiful.
Here.
Beautiful. Let me wipe the tears from my eyes. Thank you so much.
Thank you for being here. I'm Emma P., and I'm so grateful to have you, and congratulations on your record, which comes out tomorrow, but it'll have been out by now by the time this goes out to the world.
It's so nice to be here with you, Emma. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. And we were treated to a stripped-down version of that song, Rock and Roll, at the start of this, which you said, we were talking before, and you said you were a little apprehensive about how it's going to feel, or...
Yeah, for this record, the band arrangements for some of the songs, I wasn't sure... would come across in an acoustic, stripped-down way. But I've been feeling good about it.
Yeah, it sounded beautiful.
Well, thank you. Yeah. I've had a few opportunities now to play them solo, and it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, it sounded fun. And I want to hear, though, about that sort of pivot to rock and roll, and about your bandmates, Sam Kiska. Mm-hmm. Danny Wagner, too, joined you on this record.
The beautiful.
Yeah, I saw them on your performance on The Daily Show last night.
They've become two of my best friends. And I guess I'll start by talking to your first point, which is, though it might sound like a pivot, and I understand it does, in the record, in my soul and in my spirit, it's not really a pivot at all. Yeah. So it was a super fun and exciting and natural evolution for me. I grew up loving punk rock, rock and roll, soul, and hip-hop. So to me, it's like you could listen to Woody Guthrie and then Wu-Tang Clan and then like The Clash and... at least for me, hear the same spirit in it all, which I think is like rebel music and music that's reaching for something.
Mm. Yeah.
Something higher, something better maybe for the human condition.
Mm.
And is also pissed off, but full of joy as well. And that's my favorite kind of stuff. I love when I listen to music and I don't know whether the singer wants to like punch you in the face or make sweet love to you.
Or it's like both.
Or
that's
why not both?
That's beautiful. At different parts of the song,
yeah,
the whole song. Yeah, no, and that really, that comes across in this album. You know, it's still as raw as your other material, and it's got that rockin' element. It's so fun to hear you, doing that. So I want to hear,
too,
more about the influences maybe you tapped into. You talked about The Clash just now and all these other things you've listened to over the years. What do you feel like? What were you kind of listening to over the years that you tapped into here?
Oh, gosh. I think it's just when you love music, as you do and I do and the listeners do, you take it in. And so whatever it is that moves you, gives you the chills, you know, all that kind of gets sucked into the soul. And then when you're sitting down to write, you know, it's hard to pinpoint one sort of thing. I wasn't listening to, I was probably listening to more talk radio than anything else at the time.
Can be inspiring.
In
a couple directions.
In a couple directions, yeah. I remember when I was a kid, I used to come home from school and I had... D.A. Pennybaker's film on Bob Dylan, Don't Look Back.
Yeah, I love that.
And I would switch from that to a friend of mine down the street in the cul-de-sac. He lent me his Minor Threat VHS cassette of them playing at the 9:30 Club. And I used to watch both of those videos obsessively. Yeah. And I got to a point where it was too much influencing me, where I was like, I got to stop watching... Dylan, and I got to stop watching this Minor Threat video because I'm not going to do it the way that either of them do it. You know, I love I love early. I just love early forms of most music. Mm. And I there's some, you know, modern bands that I admire a lot as well. But I love just like early soul music, R&B music. I love Charles Mingus. I love Otis Redding. I love Dead Moon. I've been listening to a lot of Dead Moon recently.
Sweet.
And of course, I love my singer-songwriters. But I think of it like this, if you will try to go with me here, like a creative person, I think sometimes in a picture of like an octopus.
Mm.
And like when you are fortunate enough to maybe have a career, maybe, is it an arm?
Yeah, the tentacles, right?
But if the tentacles are on the...
arms.
Whatever those...
Say arms, what, I think.
Yeah, we'll go with arms. The arms of an octopus. You could start using that arm more than the other arms. But the arms aren't... they don't fall off.
No,
they're still there.
Nothing's amputated,
Yeah, nothing's amputated. So you can focus, and I think I've done that, and I'm happy to have done that. But, you know, I started whatever I did 20-something years ago and was making the kind of songs that I was making, performing them in a certain kind of way, and, you know, found a career in doing it. And so I think subconsciously you focus on that arm when these other arms are still there. And all the while, in the back of your mind, they're saying, I'm still here.
Mm-hmm.
I want to try this and I want to try that.
Yeah.
And so it's a beautiful and exciting thing 20-something years in to address those other arms.
And the arms are still growing and developing with you. I think even if you feel like you're not tapping into using them over the years, like everything you do, everything you listen to informs every arm you've got.
Agreed.
Yeah. I like that. I like that metaphor.
And I thank you. And I like, there's a book that I love called Letters to a Young Poet. Have you ever read that?
I have not. I'm writing it down.
Rilke. And he talks about, and it's short, which is good for a guy like me. And I'm paraphrasing here, but he talks about creativity. It's him as this greatly admired poet and this young soldier who's writing him these letters and his sort of advice to him, which are these beautiful, wise, just incredible writings.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a part of it where he sort of talks about sort of like writer's block or striving to be in some place that you're not yet. And he's saying all the while, well, there's a gestation period. It's not all about the create, like you were saying, those arms aren't falling. It's not all about writing that song right now. There's a period of time. And so for me, I feel like some of the gestation, if you will, leading to this record has been years in the making within myself.
I'm sure. Yeah. I was, speaking of poetry, I wanted to say on rock and roll, I love this this metaphor you have of living on a boat out at sea. I had remembered as I was listening to it, I knew someone who actually lived on a boat like docked in the Gravesend neighborhood of Brooklyn. And although it wasn't like out at sea technically, and he's like still in the city, he talked and it really informed his writing and his art how the weather and like the feeling of not being on solid ground like really like kind of messed with him and affected him. And I feel like it's such an apt a metaphor as you use it here for love and for life. And so I'm curious just to hear, you know, a little bit more of that poetry, the songwriting process. I know it's a tough question.
No,
but
it's not tough necessarily.
Or it's a vague question, I should say.
So I've been playing with this idea. I'm now a father.
Mm-hmm. Congratulations.
I've been on the road most of my life. At times confused, am I running toward or from? We live in a culture that's maddening in many ways, in a world that is tragic in many ways, though infinitely beautiful. I feel like I was, for a long time, whatever way the tide would take me or the wind would blow, that's kind of how my day would go, and that's kind of how my mood would go. And I've been discovering like an adventure in stillness, which doesn't mean like sitting perfectly still and like meditating like a monk by any means, but in being present to try to be present with you right now, right? And connected.
Yeah.
And that's challenging for me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm often somewhere else in my mind and I've gotten to do a lot of really fun things and didn't have fun doing them. So I think that's what I'm talking about. And just trying to be as true to as I can to the wild within me without it being destructive. You know, I think that in this record and on that song, in a way, I'm talking about my ego and sort of building this identity over the course of my life, whether or not anybody listening knows who I am or not. You know, we're all doing that in our own way. Yeah. We're all wearing our masks and all that sort of stuff, which is necessary in certain situations for sure. But I've gotten to an age where I'm interested in pulling some of that back mm-hmm. and seeing what else is there and seeing if it feels good. And maybe at first it feels scary, and can I sit with that? So believe it or not, I think I'm talking about a lot of that stuff in those kind of simple lines.
Yeah, I mean, it comes through, and I feel like often scary is like the feeling. It can go either way, but it is usually the first feeling of doing something really big and something really important, and sometimes life
It always comes with fear.
Always, yeah. If it doesn't, it's when you get concerned.
Like, for sure.
You don't want to be too comfortable, even though the brain, I think we're hardwired to keep ourselves comfortable. But
yeah, and perhaps we are hardwired to, and then conditioned to.
Yeah, yeah.
And I definitely reached for a lot of things outside of myself to find that comfort. Mm-hmm. And in the end, like with booze or substances, for me personally, like that just creates so much more instability internally. Now it's interesting. Like I wake up and the dogs are there and the kids are there and maybe the wind will blow me away that I don't like. Yeah. And my impulse is to feel a little scared or to want to run, but I don't do it. And so there's this infinite adventure with staying.
Mm-hmm.
That's really powerful to me.
Yeah, it takes strength, and it's great to hear you talk about that part of life that's so real and so human and a through line in this record. Tell me a little bit about, before we hear another song, which we will, tell me a little bit about collaborating with Greta Van Fleet, the two guys, and how did you, where'd the bud of that come from? Is it when you opened for them in Connecticut about 5 years
ago?
That's
the story we've been telling press and stuff.
Oh, okay.
They're actually mail-ordered escorts and cost me a lot of money. So I had met them prior to those shows, and they had a little show in Nashville where we live, and they came out, and I met them, and they're so sweet and kind, but it was at the end of a show, and I, you know, said hey and all that. And then Sam was, like, keeping in touch with me and inviting me to his studio where Greta was working on a record, and I wound up going over there. And because I haven't collaborated with a whole ton of other people outside of my little tight band family. And I saw in them such kindness and openness. And I saw in them an enthusiasm for music that is so inspiring and an energy that is like just full of love and passion and fire. And I'm fortunate that they already liked what I did.
Yeah.
And they wanted to, I don't think that was the plan initially to make a record, but they just wanted to be, you know, friends and hang.
Collaborate,
And we started to play some music, then they got busy, and I don't know, I'm bad at time, but about a year ago, you know, we'd just become good friends. I started going over to Sam's place with these more rockin' riffs. Mm-hmm. I would sort of write my slim folky songs by morning and some, you know, I was trying different things on my guitar by afternoon, and then going over there at night, and we would get excited. He's like, let me call Daniel. And then Daniel would come over, and it felt just like it would, I guess, when you're just starting out as a kid and forming like a garage band or I'm from the suburbs, so like a basement band. And when that kind of energy opens itself up,
you welcome it. Yeah, that's great.
And now they've just become like my family. I love them so much.
That's great. I love that, and I love hearing that come together on this record. It sounds so great.
Those boys could be so destructive.
Oh, yeah?
No, they're not, but they could be. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're, you know, if I was in my 20s and in a real popular band, it's so admirable to me that they live their lives the way that they do, which is grounded, and they're kind people, and they're in it for the music.
Yeah, that's great. Talking about family, as you just, you know, called them sort of a family to you, on this next song that we're going to hear, On Fire, at the start of this song, it's Grandma May. Is that your grandmother?
It sure is.
I was so touched hearing that recording. It reminded me of my own grandmother, as I'm sure it will for many. And it's so sweet. She talks about loving your song and how it makes her want to dance.
Yes. If I felt any better, I'd get up and dance.
I love that.
And she's no longer with us in physical form, but I had saved, as I'm sure a lot of people do, these messages that she left. She had such sort of an eccentric, colorful voice.
Yeah.
And I went and listened back, which was a trip to do, you know, emotionally. Mm-hmm. And I went and listened back to these messages, and I found that one, and it was perfect to put on there.
Yeah, I loved it. Thanks for including that. And, you know, it's such a treat to hear that piece of your family and something that I'm sure means so much to you. And it's a great way to open that song, which we'll hear now, On Fire.
What can I say? You've blown me away. I'm on fire. On fire. What can I do to get closer to you? I'm on fire. Let me show you my love and devotion. My love is deeper than the depths of the ocean. I'm on fire. I'm on fire. Now listen. Despite what you've heard, I'm a man of my word. I ain't a liar. Oh no, no way. What can I do to get closer to you? I'm on fire. Feeling nervous and my heart is beating. I'll say it again, 'cause I know it's worth repeating. I'm on fire. I'm on fire. Feeling nervous and my heart is beating. I'll say it again, 'cause I know it's worth repeating. I know there's lots of other competition. Let me say it again, and I hope that you listen. I'm on fire. I'm on fire. I'm on fire. All right. I'm on fire. She was born on the first day of summer, and she hates the heat. She was raised on a farm, but she don't eat meat. Her love's so heavy, it makes me stagger. She's a doozy, my desire. Well, excuse me, I'm on fire. I'm on fire. I'm on fire. I'm on fire. Now it goes like this, baby. My love is burning, burning like a fire. 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 My love is burning, burning like a fire.
That was Langhorne Slim live in Studio A for FUV Live Sessions with On Fire from his new album, The Dreamin' Kind. Emma P here with Langhorne Slim. Thank you so much for being here. On Fire, as we sort of talked about, starts with your grandmother, and it's a rockin', joyous declaration of love and devotion. And love and devotion and loyalty are like major themes on this record. And I think The Dreamin' Kind as a whole seems to sort of find its foundation in love. You were talking a little bit about how your mornings look like. I'd love to hear more about building that foundation.
You know, as we talked about, I'm now, listen, Emma, I went from another universe 6 or 7 years ago into a totally different universe, which I know makes zero sense to the listeners, but I was I didn't realize I was running as wild as I was, but I was up to no good in a lot of unhealthy ways for myself physically and spiritually and all that. And I wound up moving back to Nashville, where I'd lived for 10 plus years, started taking care of some things that I needed to take care of, started to try and listen to some people smarter than myself, and learning some new dance moves. And all of that led me into this incredible family, into my partner, Alyssa, who when I met and got serious with Alyssa, she came with a magical, incredible, at the time, five-year-old daughter named Goldie and five or six dogs.
Oh.
I was a single man living with a cat, which age never really mattered to me until I turned 40 and I was a single man with a cat, which is not a bad thing for anybody that wants that, but that's... But then I started looking around. I was like, oh, yeah. So anyway, she and I got together, and then we had our son. And there are definitely some lyrics and songs that are literal about that sort of thing. But I think, I guess I'm dancing around the question because I don't know how to answer it with total truth, because I don't honestly always know what I'm talking about, as you could tell, or where the songs come from.
Yeah.
And I feel as though, you know, people when I started used to ask me, well, what's the difference between, you know, growing up in Pennsylvania and starting to write songs there as opposed to living in Brooklyn or living in this place or that place? Yeah. And I never knew how to answer that.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that the environment and relationships play a part in it.
Yeah.
But I don't, not to sound too whatever, but I truly try to be open. I think the music exists out there and I try to be open to it.
Yeah.
And have my, I've heard other writers talk about their antennas up and I know what they mean and have that. And then I do, you know, you work on it when it doesn't all come at one piece, but I rarely sit down with like, this is the kind of song I'm going to write.
Mm-hmm.
And then afterward, there's a song that isn't on the record that I wrote for my son. You know, there's a song on another record I wrote for my grandfather who I adore.
Mm-hmm.
So there's specific things like that. But a lot of it is, like we spoke about before, when the energy is inviting you in, you welcome it and you do your best with the gifts that are offered.
I mean, I think there's so many artists who, it's not that they hate that question of where the song comes from, but a lot of times it just really, it comes through you. I think it does. And I appreciate you, you know, talking about just love in general as it plays a role in your life. And think as... living as an artist, it's
something
just natural.
Well, thank you. And I guess I could speak to this, where love, I have learned in going back to like that staying, which was always so scary for me. There are so many different layers that I've heard people talk about and I've read people write about, but I hadn't necessarily experienced because I wasn't a sober guy or I wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
I still struggle with being fully present, but I was far less present. And so you need loyalty, I think, to truly love. I need to know that nothing, and especially love or a person, is a possession. And there's a sort of a song about that.
Yeah.
And it's just a crazy dance.
Yeah.
That some days I'm graceful and some days I'm a sloppy MF-er.
That's life. That's
it
life.
Is.
That's love. That's
sure
all
is.
Of it. Yeah.
It sure is.
Yeah, I love that, the joy of that, part of the almost like instability of life that runs through it. I thought of this Irish proverb when I was listening to your record. May you live all the days of your life.
I love that.
Feels like it. That's there. It really
That's
is.
There. And so is that hardwired in us or conditioned, this idea that it should be one thing or another thing? Because it ain't ever gonna be.
No, it's never one thing. On Fire has a killer music video as well. It sees closing time at a bar, and you've got a broom in hand. You're singing that song. You get the voicemail from Grandma May that starts the song. And I'd love to hear about the making of that video. And, you know, it also immediately made me think of the title, The Dreamin' Kind. I think of all, you know, the artists around me who often pick up those jobs as bartender or barista.
Oh, yeah.
And all the while, you're tuned into their music and grinding away and trying
Absolutely.
To build that dream.
And so. That's every other person in Nashville.
Yeah.
And maybe in New York as well. We got so lucky. Our dear, dear, dear friend Jordan Noel is an incredible filmmaker. And one of his daughters is best friends with our daughter.
Aww.
And we're all family together. And so we actually were asked to make four music videos for this, which seemed crazy to me. with not a ton of money to do so. And we invited Jordan if he'd like to do like one of them, please.
Yeah.
And he agreed to. And then we just had so much fun and he made all four of them. And
it's great.
I think they're all so,
yeah,
so good. I don't mean that in a arrogant way. It's all him and my partner, Alyssa, mm-hmm, helped a lot mm-hmm. with it. And our whole little Nashville family got together.
Sweet.
Danny and Sam are in one of them for mm-hmm. Haunted Man. And they're just little films that I think all came out in a special way.
I like your shot out of a cannon, rather, in the rock and roll.
I'll take credit for that idea.
Oh, yeah?
I was like, here's the only idea I have, and I know that we won't be able to do this. She's like, no, we could do that.
No, I loved it. It was great. Yeah. Such perfect, like, you know, exuberant joy in those music videos. It's a great accompaniment.
Been a dream. That's always been a dream of mine, is to be shot out of a cannon.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I love, like, I mean, I wouldn't do it myself because I would die immediately, but, like, the old Evel Knievel stuff. And,
yeah.
Carnival and circus.
That's great.
Stuff. Yeah,
well, now
that.
You have like an image of it happening.
I do.
Is that enough for you guys?
Oh, that's enough.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm good.
Good. We're gonna hear one more song off the Dreamin' Kind. It's the second to last song on the record, Dance On Through. That when I heard it and I've listened to it since, I keep imagining, you know, people returning to it as a little like boost of daily motivation. I think even of a parent singing to a child, a friend to a friend. It's such an offering. Dance On Through. It feels like the song as an offering to be there for someone when you're not even physically present. So I'd love to hear a little bit about this song.
That song I started writing, I think, 15 years ago.
Oh.
And meant one thing, but I couldn't find the words to finish it. I think at some point I was talking about like an elephant walking through the room or something like that. And I like the image of an elephant walking through the room, but it wasn't quite right. And then I played it for just what I had of it. I got emotional when you were talking about that. Yeah. You're so sweet.
Oh.
And I played the little bit that I had for Sam, and it clearly now was a song for my son. And so I was able to finish that song, and I really, really love that song. And my son walks around the house. He's like 2 years old, and and he walks around and he sings it. And it's really it's really special.
Yeah. The greatest feeling, I'm sure, as a father and creator. And
it's so cool to sing with your kid, whether it's your song or not.
Yeah.
But I don't force him to do it, Lacey.
No.
He likes it.
I'm sure he does.
Sometimes we get in the car and he goes, Dada new, Dada new. And he just wants to hear
the
new record. It's an amazing. Now let me get.
No.
I mean, anything that I can for him or for my family, that's just a well of obviously inspiration, but of love. So when something comes out and you complete it and it feels like you maybe got it right, it's a beautiful feeling to have in my heart.
Langhorne Slim, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. I thought only Oprah was supposed to make me cry.
Oh.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. And live in Studio A, we're going to close it out with that great, great song, Dance On Through.
You're amazing. Thank you. My little love, I'm leaving town. Won't be back till the sun goes down. Rub your eyes, get out of bed. Let's have some fun before we're dead. Something good is coming soon, but we gotta keep our eyes wide open. Hello, sun, hello, moon. I'll greet you with the windows open. It's easy getting lost in conversation, but you know the rhythm of my mind. Oh, my love, take this song and hold it close to you. Oh, my love, give your heart a chance to dance on through. Morning came and morning went, never once by accident. Life is short and life is long, so greet each morning with a song. Something good is coming soon. Oh, but we gotta keep our eyes wide open. Hello, sun, hello, moon.
whisper words softly spoken. It's easy getting lost in conversation, but you know the rhythm of my mind. Oh, my love, take this song and hold it close to you. Oh, my love, give your heart a chance to dance on through. Little love, I'm leaving town. I won't be back till the sun goes down. Oh, my love, take this song and hold it close to you. Oh, my love, give your heart a chance to dance on through. Oh, my love, take this song and hold it close to you. Oh, my love, give your heart a chance to dance on through.
That was Langhorne Slim performing and in conversation at WFUV in New York City. A big thank you to Sean for joining us in our studio and to Dual Tone Records. Thanks to our WFUV audio team, including Jim O'Hara, Aaron Merriman, and James Higgins. Our FUV live studio sessions are engineered by Jim O'Hara. Our associate producer for this episode was Diana Juarez. Megan Suma is our executive producer. Our theme music was composed by John Crick. Be sure to follow FUV Live Sessions wherever you get your podcasts so you can listen to new episodes and find your next favorite artist or band. Episodes drop every Monday. Please rate and review the show if you like what you hear so other music lovers can find it. You can also catch audio and video of FUV Live Sessions on WFUV.org. FUV Live Sessions is a production of WFUV in New York City. I'm your host, Emma P.